Hi, this is Todd Oliver and my little talking dog Irving, and you're listening to On Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Thank you for stopping by for another episode of On Screen and Beyond. This is episode 308, and I'm your host, Brian Zemrak. This is the weekly show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week, ventriloquist Todd Oliver stops by. You remember him from America's Got Talent? He had the talking dog. Remember that? And of course, he travels all over the country doing shows. And he's got a new DVD coming out on April 8th, and it's called Todd Oliver, Funny Dog. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. It's his experience on America's Got Talent and just a whole bunch more. So I hope you're going to stick around for that. It's been an exciting week this past week. I was in Chicago for a while, then I was in Boston, and then I was in New York, and I was able to sit down and have a luncheon with the cast and some of the creators of the TV show Granite Flats. Now, it was a great time, met a lot of people, and David Naughton was there, and Richard Gunn, the two of the stars, and Cary Elwes was there. He's going to be a semi-regular on the show, or a couple of guest appearances, I should say, I guess. And he's got a really great character. I had a chance to talk to him for a while, and we're going to see about getting Cary on the show. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but we're working on it. And also some other exciting things coming your way here this week on Screen and Beyond, so I hope you're going to stick around. And what do you say? Todd Oliver's coming up in a few minutes. Right now, it's time for Remake Madness in theaters in April, right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake Madness coming your way in April? Nada. There is not a thing coming your way as far as remakes in theaters, new movies in April. So let's get right on. Coming up next, it's new movies coming your way in April in theaters. New movies coming your way, upcoming new movies in April in theaters. On April 4th, Frankie and Alice will bring Halle Berry into the lead role in a true life-based story of a woman who battles multiple personalities. Sounds like a good one. And Draft Day with Kevin Costner brings us into a football story once again, and it's coming your way on April 11th. Also on April 11th, Naomi Watts, Bill Murray, Melissa McCarthy star in St. Vincent. An Oculus arrives on April 11th also as a thriller about a boy convicted of killing his parents may be innocent. And a supernatural killer may have done it who lives in a mirror. And Heaven is Real stars Greg Kinnear on April 16th. It's about a young boy who has a near-death experience. And Transcendence with Johnny Depp arrives on April 18th. Cameron Diaz stars in The Other Woman on April 25th, and on April 25th, Paul Walker will star in Brick Mansions as an undercover cop infiltrates the gang of a ruthless crime boss. That's it for upcoming new movies in April in theaters. Next on Screen and Beyond, what's coming your way as far as sequels in April? Sequels coming your way in April. Well, it looks like Captain America, the Winter Soldier, will arrive on April 4th. Rio 2 brings back those colorful animated birds on April 11th. And A Haunted House 2 tickles our funny bone on April 18th. That's it for Sequel City for movies coming your way that are sequels in April. Next on Screen and Beyond, TV on DVD in April.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TV on DVD coming your way in April. On April 1st, you can look for The Client List, Season 2. I Dream of Jeannie, Season 1 and Season 2, News Radio, Season 1 and Season 2, Psych, Season 8, Star Trek Enterprise, Season 4 on Blu-ray, and T.J. Hooker, Season 1 and 2. On April 8th, The Big Valley, Season 2, The Bobby Darin Show, also Doctor Who, Second Series, Part 2, and Mayberry RFD, Season 1. April 15th, Anger Management, Volume 3, will arrive along with The Beverly Hillbillies, Season 4, The Cosby Show, Season 3 and Season 2, Married with Children, Season 3 and 4, Petticoat Junction, Season 1, 2, and 3, and The Practice, Season 8. And on April 22nd, New Heart, Season 3 will arrive. April 29th, Dynasty, Season 8. Hill Street Blues, the complete series. That is it for TV on DVD coming your way in April. Next, we're going to take a peek at what's coming your way as far as movies on DVD in April. Movies coming your way in April on DVD. Well, it looks like on April 1st, you can catch 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves. And Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. April 8th, August, Osage County with Meryl Streep. Grudge Match with Stallone and De Niro, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, and Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones. April 15th, look for The Nut Job with Will Arnett, Philomena with Judi Dench, Ride Along with Kevin Hart, and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller. April 29th, look for Devil's Due, Escape from Tomorrow, and The Legend of Hercules. That's it for upcoming movies coming your way on DVD and Blu-ray, of course, in April. Next on Screen and Beyond, Todd Oliver, Funny Dog. That's his new DVD. You remember Todd from America's Got Talent? And he had that talking dog, and it was just amazing. It's just so well done. And he's a ventriloquist, and he's going to be touring the country, of course. And he's got a DVD out coming out on April 8th. Todd Oliver, Funny Dog. He's next, right here on Screen and Beyond. My guest today on Screen and Beyond is a performer who made us laugh on America's Got Talent, and he ended up as a semifinalist. He has a new DVD coming out on April 8th called Todd Oliver, Funny Dog. It's Todd Oliver. Todd, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Well, hey, Brian. Thanks for having us on.
Todd, I was really excited when I heard that you were having a DVD coming out, because when you were on America's Got Talent, you just cracked me up.
Actually, probably my dog did. I probably just stood there and didn't do much.
Yeah, you're sort of like the sidekick guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The dog's the star. I definitely respect my limitations.
Why is it with ventriloquists? That's always the way it is. You know, like Danny O'Day. You remember him?
Sure. And of course.
And you know, it was always the dummy, or in your case, the dog. You know, that seems to be the attraction at first. You know.
Well, I think they're just more interesting. And they're the funny one, right? They're the one that makes you laugh.
True.
I play the straight man, and the dog gets the laughs. And but that's okay, because in ventriloquism, successful ventriloquists, their partners generally have a pixie-like charm, an endearing, sweet, but sarcastic and slightly irreverent charm. And that's what it's all about, you know. People always want to hear what the dummy has to say, and you know, it's worked for hundreds of years, so I guess it'll keep working.
Yeah. So what got you interested in being a ventriloquist? How long ago did that start?
Back in the '60s, I had kind of a different way of getting into it. Like most people, I saw ventriloquists on television. I saw Jimmy Nelson and Danny O'Day and Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and Paul Winchell and loads of other great ventriloquists that appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I just wanted one of those little smart aleck, little wooden-headed characters, because they were so cool and so they could get away with murder, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so I got a dummy for Christmas, and 3 days later my father died, which was very strange. And the reason I bring that up is the dummy and ventriloquism, it helped me with my depression and my sadness of losing my dad.
I'm sure.
I was only 10 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also say this because it kept me busy, you know, the old thing, you know, if you keep busy in something that you really dig, it's going to, you know, you're not going to have time to get feeling sorry for yourself you know, you just keep yourself busy. And that's what ventriloquism did for me. And I also, I went to the library. I read, at the time, you'd be surprised how many books were available in the public library on ventriloquism. Edgar Bergen even wrote one, and Paul Winchell wrote one. And I had a Jimmy Nelson Laugh and Learn ventriloquism record, and Edgar Bergen record. I had all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
So I just immersed myself in it, and then I became a volunteer for the Minneapolis public school system where I grew up. And I used to be able to get out of school and go do my act and get high school credit because it was considered part of a career that I was looking at in the future, you know. So I thought I had a real sweet deal. And then I also did shows, and I think I got about $10 a show back when I was in junior high. And in high school, I think I moved up to about $35 a show doing, everything from a nursing home to a Cub Scout Blue and Gold banquet, you know, all kinds of different kind of events. And all kinds of in weird gigs that you would never expect. I used to perform in libraries a lot.
Ever do a funeral or anything?
No, I never did it. Never did one of those. I know a guy that did, though. But no, I never got that call yet. Although I played a few dates where I felt like my act was a funeral. You know, I remember once I used to play these tours where you would sign on with a booking girl, and you'd go on the road for 9 months, and you'd play 3 to 4 towns a day, 5 days a week, mostly school shows. But every now and then you'd get a weird gig, and I'll never forget, they booked me into a school, and the audience was deaf.
Oh, jeez.
You know, of all things, you know, it was like a mass booking. They just, we'll take it. Whoever you got, just send them over, you know. And, you know, I played all kinds of weird, you know, of course, and we, you know, then I played the lounges before there were comedy clubs, and we played comedy clubs, and then I got into the, you know, then it, you know, it's like a hobby that got out of hand. You know?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the Jimmy Nelson and Danny O'Day record.
Sure.
And, you know, I still have that in my record collection. When I was when I was a kid, I had the Danny O'Day and I had the record, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
And I still have that in my record collection, believe it or not.
You know, and he's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Jimmy Nelson?
He is. Under the word gentleman, they should have his picture in the dictionary. Jimmy is a very, very nice man, and when I started doing a lot of TV back in the 90s, I did a Las Vegas special, and Jimmy Nelson saw me on TV, and he spoke about me at the ventriloquist convention and sent me an 8x10, and I was so honored.
Wow.
You know, I felt like such an achievement, because here he was one of my heroes, and here he was recommending me and talking me up, you know. That was such a tremendous thing to happen. You know, yeah, I've always considered myself a working man in show business. The fame thing never, I never thought much about fame. I always kind of felt, always seemed kind of embarrassing, you know. I just wanted to make a good living as a ventriloquist and an entertainer. And so when little milestones like that come along, it really means something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah,
where did you come up with the idea of using the dog?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I had a standard act, and I had the two dummies, and I still use them. But I had done a couple television shows over at TNN in Nashville. For 7 years, I appeared on the General Jackson Showboat in Nashville. At the time, they had the Nashville Network happening right there in Nashville. So I did all those TV shows, and I booked myself on those shows. and I didn't have an agent at the time. And I went back to book myself over there, and the guy, the producer, who was a very nice man, Bill Turner, said, you know, Todd, we've seen that. What else have you got? And I said, well, I've got some other material. He said, no, what else do you have? Do you have anything different than the dummies? And I said, well, I have this idea. And I told him about it, and he said, well, why don't you do it? That sounds great. So he really encouraged me. And the point here, again, is the word here is encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. Kids, adults, teenagers, we all need that. I don't care how successful you are. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that encouragement. So what I did is I pursued the idea, and my brother, he suggested the Boston Terrier. And I looked at that dog, and I loved the look of that dog. Mm-hmm. And I needed to stick with I couldn't use a mutt because I wanted a continual character that could live on, you know, so yeah. I can I went with the Boston Terrier, and a friend of mine, a magician, Maverick, and another magician friend of mine, Jonathan Neil Brown, they both helped me and sent me to a couple of these magic illusion makers to help me develop the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid for all the research and development, and the first night Irving went, it took me about a year. I got the dog and I raised him as a little, I adopted him from a lady who had, she had a couple Boston Terriers and she was moving and she had to let her dogs go. I think she was going into a retirement community or something. So I adopted the first Irving there. And a year later, he went on stage the first night on that showboat and stopped the show. It was, and I didn't really have a whole lot of material, but I found that I didn't really need a whole lot of material. When that dog started talking, the place went nuts.
I'm sure.
You know, and because the illusion was so nice. And then an agent saw me, Irvin Arthur, and he signed me. And I spent 21 years in review shows. I was on a showboat in Nashville for 7 years and a showboat in Branson, Missouri for 13 years. And I would do 20 minutes to 25 minutes in the show. And I did that for a long time. And then I just said, this is enough. I gotta get out of this. I gotta go out and do more time. And, so about a little over 3 years ago, I quit the showboat and I started doing my own show. And I'm doing about an hour and a half now in theaters across the country. It's turned out real nice. And the other good thing too is, you know, the dog is his personality is quite a bit different than mine. Very, a little irreverent, a little Napoleon complex, you know. The illusion now is I kept improving the mechanism, the illusion. So it even fools me on stage without sounding half crazy. I look at it and it's the best it's ever looked. Even, you know, I did a lot of shows before America's Got Talent. You know, we did Letterman's Ventriloquist Week, and yeah. He had me and Jeff Dunham and Ron Lucas and Jay Johnson and Willie Talent. We're all in one, you know, he's kind of featuring a different ventriloquist every week. And we did all those other shows, Craig Ferguson. I did a couple cameos on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And then I did a bunch of other comedy specials over the years and talked Today Show. And we even did some episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger. We've done all kinds of things. But
when you were on America's Got Talent, would you say that that was the one that, you know, really brought you out to so many people? I mean, I know all those other shows are big and they're huge, but, I mean, you were on every week. So it's just like,
yes.
You know, it was like, wow, where did this guy come from? And, of course, you've been in this business for years.
Yes. A lot of people don't know this, or maybe they just don't think about it. America's Got Talent uses professionals and amateurs. Mm. They need both to balance out the show.
Yeah.
And they had called me more than a few times to do the show, and I turned them down because I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't really think that that would be the right show for me. Well, here's what happened. A few years ago, right before I was supposed to open at this theater in Branson for the year, a tornado hit the theater the night before we were supposed to open and tore the heck out of the theater, and I was knocked out of work for over 3 months. at the time, my manager said, you better do this show. They get more viewership than Letterman and Leno combined. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll do it. I just felt, you know, I'm a little old to get a report card. But that's when I discovered, is it really, you know, I look at it this way. Is it really competition? No, it's really more of a television show about a competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's so much reality, drama, and behind the scenes stuff they show, and it's a great deal. There's a lot more going on there than what the average person thinks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, and so yes, it got me out there in front of people on a regular basis, and it did help. It is putting, as we say, it does put butts in seats on the road. And sells tickets. It's not like the days of the old days where there was just three networks where you could, become pretty famous pretty quick. It's more challenging these days.
Oh, yeah.
But it definitely did make a great difference, and I'm grateful. And it was a good experience, you know.
Now, Irving, he's so calm. Is that just his nature?
Yes, it is. Now he can be pretty hyper around the ranch, and when we're playing, he jumps up high, and you know he loves running around the yard and jumping all over the place. But when we're doing the act, first of all, he's up on a table. He really can't go anywhere. He's done the act so many times, he's completely comfortable in the act.
Yeah.
In fact, he does fall asleep sometimes up there. You know, I always say, "Hey, what are you falling asleep with?" "Hey, man, I've heard these lines. You know, let me rest." You know.
So you got to improvise.
I've heard it. You know, I'm not fooled anymore by this. You know.
But you have to improvise quite a bit because depending on what he does, right?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And also, that's where a lot of great improvisational comedy gets developed on stage, and then I end up just keeping it in as part of the act.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great teacher one time tell me the best material, George Schindler out of New York once told me, he said, the best material you'll write is the stuff that you'll write on stage that'll just happen, and it'll be magic, and you'll just keep it in your act. And it's very true, you know. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, even on that TV special that Irving, he fell asleep on stage, and he nodded off and he lost his footing and he almost fell off the table. I would have caught him, but he's never done that before. But here it happened on the TV show.
Wow.
You know, everything was fine, but it was very funny.
Yeah. Now, what's
it
the...
It was very, you know, yeah.
Yeah. In all the years you've done this act, what's the funniest thing that has happened? I mean, you know, has he turned around and scratched his butt or anything like that?
Let's see. Let me think. You know, there's been a lot of crazy things. I'll tell you, he had a... he had an allergy, a skin allergy one time, and the vet had him on a little bit of medication for the skin allergy. And one time he just started scratching himself crazy in the middle of the act, you know. And then he stood up and he pissed right on the stage, you know. Because the medication did that. The vet said, Todd, this will make him have to pee more often, so make sure you walk him before you do the act.
Yeah.
But, you know, he cut loose one day.
So how'd you come back?
And of course, you know, it was we were far enough away from the audience, but the people in the front row could see, and they all started laughing. And, of course, Irving, the dog turned and looked at it and looked at me and said, now, Todd, look at that. Now, don't blame that on me. What's wrong with you? I thought you were potty trained. I can't believe it. The ventriloquist isn't potty trained. You know? But that was kind of unusual.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So tell us about the DVD, Funny Dog, Todd Oliver's Funny Dog. Is this a compilation of different things that you've done in while you're touring, or what?
It's a show that we filmed at the Music Hall Theater in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Every year I go out, and my agent sends me on a tour of performing arts centers, the theaters, and we usually do about 2 or 3 months of them. And this was just one of the dates that the producer decided to film. And Garrett Lee there, he came out, and we made the deal, and they came out, they filmed the show, and that's the show. It's the act I was doing about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are there any extras in it, or is it's the performance itself?
Oh yeah, it's Irving, and then Lucy, my other dog.
Yeah.
And then my three little wooden head and knuckleheads, Joey, Pops, and Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some audience participation, and I do a couple songs that I wrote. I play piano a little bit, you know. It's just kind of a combination of everything that I do.
Yeah. Now you sing and have a band too, don't you?
I do. Yes, we're called the Smiling Eyes, and the band is playing some of the dates with me on the road, and that combination is very interesting. It's talking dogs and rock and roll, it's a bizarre combination, but it just works, you know.
Yeah.
The agents were in the front. In the front end, they said, "How are we going to sell this?" I said, "Listen, it works. Trust me, it just works. Just good old fashioned 4-piece rock and roll music videos." And I mean, it's still, you know, that show was 85% comedy and 15% music.
Mm-hmm.
But the live music that backs the show is very. Very effective and gives a whole new energy to it, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't use the band on the TV special. At the time, the band, I was going through personnel changes with the group, and so I just went out and did the TV show without them. But now the new band I have, they're all great players and great guys, and it's just a lot of fun, you know.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's coming out on April 8th. Now, where will they be?
Correct.
Where will people be able to get this?
Walmart, Amazon, the movies in demand on television and Netflix, and that's what I know so far.
Yeah. Now, if people want to follow you and where you're going to be and where you're going to be doing performances and everything else, do you have a website or anything?
Yes. Funnydog.com.
Easy enough.
Is the website funnydog.com. And the band is thesmilingeyes.com.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And the funnydog.com has my tour schedule and any upcoming events. We got some more television brewing right now. I just got the call from the publicist and saying there's three late night shows that are interested in having us on and to promote. Promote the Funny Dog video.
That's great.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get some more.
They should make a TV show. That would be a great TV show.
Yeah, you know, it sure would. It sure would. And I'm not appearing in Branson anymore. I was in Branson, Missouri for 16 years.
Wow.
It was really, it was probably 3 years too long, you know. I mean, when you have a talking dog, you have to get out and let more of the country see that little talking dog, and
that's
what we're doing. I do enjoy the travel. The audiences are fresh and fun, and there's good. And what we do is family. It's a family comedy. It's not a kiddie show.
Yeah.
But it's a hip family friendly comedy.
Yeah.
So I don't use any of the off color language or any of the dirty talk. That's never been my style. I'm not putting people down that do it.
Right. No.
That's what they do.
Yep.
That's what they do. But I've never worked that way, and I've never needed to. And I've worked in some pretty rough places, but I've never needed. I never felt comfortable working that way. I grew up in an era where, you know, if you're entertaining people out there and a guy's got his wife there, well, you don't want to make the woman feel uncomfortable with mm-hmm. you know, something disgusting or bad manners.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But the world's changed a lot too, Brian. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the comedy in America has changed so much. But I'm very blessed that it hasn't really affected me. You know. I've worked with all kinds of comedians, clean, dirty, everything, you know, and it doesn't matter. I just, you know, I've just stuck true to them.
Yep.
You got to be true to yourself, and gosh, if you got to, you know, my feeling is that when we're on the road, I look at the audience, and I hear one of my favorite sounds in the world, and that's kids and their parents laughing at the same time.
Right, yep, yep.
You know,
just a good...
That's one of my favorite sounds ever, and I just the other day, my mother... was over. It was my mother and my wife and my daughter and I. My daughter's 8 years old. And we were all laughing at the same time. And man, that's a wonderful sound and a great thing a family can share.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm you know, like I said, this is a kiddie show, and I, you know, the dog gets a little edgy, you know,
yeah.
and a little, you know. Remember, the dummy and the dog, they can get away with the murder.
Right.
They can say things that we would never say, and they don't take offense. And if you take offense to a dog, I'll pray for you.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, Todd,
yeah.
I'd like to finish up with two final questions. But,
sure.
But it takes us away from your show and your DVD and everything else.
Yeah.
When you get a chance to sit back and relax, what are your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what are your favorite movies now and of the past?
Well, my favorite TV shows, now I'm gonna tell you, Brian, I don't watch, I can't think of anything current. My wife and my daughter and I, we used to watch that show on Disney. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. How do you like that? With that Bridget Mendler, that wonderful young lady singer, and the family, her dad's a bug exterminator, whatever. That was I can't remember the name of the show. I'm sorry, but that show was the current thing that I enjoy watching with my family. And I haven't seen any new movies lately, Brian, you know, but one of the more current movies, but it was still probably from maybe 18 years ago, was that Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do.
Yes, yes.
I really love that movie, and I like watching it over and over. And then shows of the past, you know, I love The Monkees.
Yes,
you know,
oh yes.
I just love that series. And they were a big influence on me because that was music and comedy.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And that's what I do. And so of shows of the past, you know, I always love The Monkees, and I love the show The Rifleman with Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors, yes.
And I love Hawaii Five-O, the old one. I haven't watched the new one.
Mm-hmm.
But Beverly Hillbillies, I always love.
Yeah.
You know. And Andy Griffith, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And
I detect a child of the 60s here.
Absolutely. Broadway Danny Rhodes is a favorite movie of mine. I loved Woody Allen, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I have Phyllis Diller. I have all of Phyllis Diller's DVDs, bless her soul. She was a funny lady.
Oh yeah.
I think she's the funniest woman I've ever seen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, my influences were The Monkees and Edgar Bergen, you know.
Yeah. Well,
and of course the Beach Boys, Beatles, and you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I loved the Borscht comedians, you know. I loved Dick Capri and there's so many of them, the old timers that I loved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, and I want to make sure everybody goes out and catches the DVD on April 8th. It's called Todd Oliver Funny Dog, and I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, Brian, thank you, and we really appreciate it, and have a great year in broadcasting.
thank Todd Oliver so much for taking the time to talk to us here at On Screen and Beyond. Great guest. If you ever get a chance, be sure to check out his show because it is just a riot. And if you remember him from America's Got Talent, he just blew away the crowd and the judges, and it was just so much fun. He was a semifinalist on the show. And let's see, of course, on April 8th, you can catch his new DVD if you can't catch him live, and it's called Todd Oliver Funny Dog, so be sure to check that out. Well, we have got a lot of things going on, and like I said, I've been traveling around and just meeting all kinds of great people and making connections. We're going to have some great guests coming your way here at On Screen and Beyond, so I hope you're going to be sticking around. If you've got a suggestion for me, send it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. I'll see what I can do about getting that person on for you. Also, like us on Facebook. If you're on iTunes, be sure to leave us a review. And that's about it. That's a wrap for this week. Next week, I hope you will join us as we once again take you on screen and beyond. I'm Brian Zimrak. Take care.